Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of the book of 1 John. We're in the second chapter. And we've covered up through the first 26 verses, something like that. So we'll finish the balance of the chapter today. Let me back up to verse 23 and set the context again for us. And John says this, "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life." Now, we looked at these verses right here in the last episode, and you see what He's saying is that if you deny the Son, then you don't have the Father. Okay? If you confess the Son, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and you confess Him, then you have the Father also. And He starts driving home this word, abide, abide, abide. I think we just read it three times in one verse here. And we're about to see it again in some other verses. And John also said this in his gospel in the 15th chapter of John, the great chapter about abiding in the Lord, okay? At all times, in everything, we as believers must abide in Him. Stepping outside of that abiding is actually sin. And in my mind, that's a good definition of sin, is stepping outside the abiding of the Lord. That explains several things. If we abide in Him, then we are in Him, and we will not sin, and we can be who we are in Him, which is holy. You know, sometimes people get quite distraught over those passages that say, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And it tells us that we can live a life of holiness. It gets all perverted where people are pursuing sanctification, which means holiness. And they're pursuing something which they already are. It's not something that we pursue in that way. It is who we are, and we live it out. And we live it out by abiding. It gets so perverted that sometimes, particularly in days gone by, people would stand at the worship service and say, "I have attained to sanctification this week." Well, what does that mean? It sounds very religious, you know. But the heart, I think the Lord looks upon, but the idea is this. You need to abide in who you are and in whom's you are, okay? Now, what He's telling us is, we have this great promise, and that promise is eternal life. Now, continuing verse 26, He says, "These things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you." So we talked about that in the last episode. So there will be people, there are people who are trying to deceive us. Okay, they're doing it overtly. They're doing it covertly. They're doing it intentionally. They're doing it unintentionally. Sometimes they're clueless. Sometimes they know exactly what they're doing. Either way we go, there are people who are trying to deceive us. Sometimes they're just friends, okay? A lot of times, folks, there are people in church leadership, and they flat out are trying to deceive the true body of Christ. Well, how do they do this? They don't teach the Word of God. They don't preach the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. They try to get you to believe in what you see in Deuteronomy 13, 11 and 13, and many, many other passages in the Scripture, try to get you to believe in other gods, other gods. Now, they wouldn't say it forthrightly like that, but anytime somebody comes along and is trying to convince you of something that the Word of God speaks against, then you know that they are speaking of and about another God. We see it happening within the body of Christ and in any number of subject matters, okay? Any number of subject matters. So just be aware, there will be those who are trying to deceive us. But listen to what verse 27 says. "As for you," okay, He said that in verse 24, "as for you, let that abide in you." Now He's saying, "As for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you." Ah, so we have received an anointing from him. We are told to abide in him, and we are told that that which we believed in the beginning abides in us now and will abide in us, the Father, Son, and Spirit. And then we're told that an anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And then he says this, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, a lot of times people pervert that verse, and they'll say, well, that's the reason we don't have any need for any teachers or anything like that, because we have all that we need. Well, then why is there a spiritual gift of teaching? Why is there a warning in James about those who teach? No, obviously, there is giftedness about teaching. But what so often happens is that people get locked in to teachers, or they get locked into thinking, I cannot learn anything on my own. I have to have somebody tell me what to do and what to think and what to believe about everything. Most people say, well, I don't do that. Oh, really? Go into most churches, and you will find out that they're going to believe whatever they're told from the pulpit. Okay? They're going to believe that. They don't check it out for themselves. They're not very Berean about it. Okay? They're just going to sit there and say, oh, well, this is what somebody told me, so it must be true. And he says, no, you don't have the need for that type of thing. You have an anointing that you have received within. Okay? Within you. Just think about that. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. So if you abide in him, then the anointing of the Lord will help us discern what is truth and what is lie. Now let me read these last two verses quickly, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him. Notice how he's just driving that abide, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Wow. John is talking about this. Paul mentions this about being prepared and not shrinking away from the Lord at his coming. In other words, of being ashamed, realizing we should have and could have done more. The author of Hebrews talks about that, uses this exact phraseology here, of shrinking away from him. So he's saying, abide in him so that when he appears, we'll have confidence. Now, our salvation, we have confidence in our salvation in and through him. It's not in any confidence that I can do and what I have done. It is in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. But folks, we need to live our lives in a way to where we can be confident before the Lord, knowing that he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So now verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. How do you know that somebody's born again? How do you know that you are born again? It's the fact that you practice righteousness. Not righteousness of your own volition, not righteousness of your own flesh, of your own self, of your own soul, but it is his righteousness. You know him, you know his righteousness, and you practice his righteousness. Now, there again, that practice is a great thing. That means that your pattern and behavior of life, your pattern, practice, and behavior of life is that of righteousness. It doesn't mean that you don't rebel sometimes, okay? But generally speaking, more and more and more, you are living in righteousness. So folks, let us do so. Let us abide in him. Let us live a life of righteousness so that when he appears, that we will have the confidence to know that we will not shrink away from him because we have been faithful. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you next time.